God bless you this evening, beloved, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord here tonight. Just sat down here and began to meditate in His presence, listen to Him. I said something the other day, somebody said back to me, and when they said it, I'm like, oh, you know, some people would really have a hard time with that. And so I responded, if you share that, you better do it in the context of the message. But I want to share with you, I said something in the devotion. I said, listen, God is not calling us to be servants of Jesus or followers of Jesus. He's calling us to be Jesus. What does that mean? What did I mean by that? The Word of God is so clear, and there's so many scriptures about us being one with Jesus, us being in Jesus and of Jesus. The Bible says that we are His flesh and His bones. It says we are His body. It says we are each members of His body. This is not just a picture God's giving us. This is a fact. If we are born again, if we are born of God, created in true holiness and righteousness, then we are actually a part of Jesus. That's why the Word says there in Ephesians chapter 1, the last verse there, it says that the church is the fullness of Him who fills all things. The church is Jesus Christ. It is the fullness of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was here, before He left, He prayed that His disciples would be one with Him as He was one with the Father. Now, at that point, they couldn't be. They couldn't be born again because the life of Adam had not been crucified yet. That life of Adam had to die for us as beings, as spirit beings, to have an opportunity to partake of the divine nature, to partake of the life, to become one with the Zoe of God. The Bible actually says in Colossians, it said, for you died. You died. When did that happen? On the cross, your Adamic life, whatever name you are, whatever life you got from mom and dad, you died, and your life is now hidden with God in Christ Jesus. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, it cannot be any more clear. Colossians chapter 3. What do we have to look forward to? It's not golden streets. It's not pearly gates. What we have to look forward to is being Christ, is being Christ eternally. What does that mean? What does that look like? That even sounds so sacrilegious. And the reason that it does, friend, is because Christianity, for the most part, is not the gospel. It's not. It is not that you had to die, that you did die, and that you have been raised in the life of Jesus Christ and seated with Him in heavenly places at the right hand of power. That's the true gospel. That's the true message of the cross. For you died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you shall appear with Him in glory. Praise God. Ephesians 1, for the church is the fullness of Him. He's praying in Ephesians 1 there for God to give the believers a revelation of what He accomplished at the cross. That's what he's praying for in Ephesians 1. Show them your power toward us, in that when God raised Christ from the dead, He seated Him at His own right hand. Why does that have to do with His power toward us? He continues. You get to Ephesians 2. For He has already raised us up together with Him, glory to God, and seated us with Him in heavenly places. What does that mean? It means that when Christ ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand, your life ascended into heaven. and sat down at the right hand. God is not calling you down here to be a servant of Jesus. And friend, that's not just some strange thing I'm saying. The Bible even says this. It's Jesus even said it. He said, I no longer call you sir. This was before they were born again. So I want you to get this. I wanted to share this devotion with you today, and I'm calling it From Servants to Friends to Sons. Praise God. It's a transition from servants to friends to sons. Now, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, I call you, from now on, I'm not going to call you servants anymore. So they were servants. When Jesus first called his disciples, they were not his friends. He called them to serve him, and he called them so that he might serve them. They were simply servants to the Lord. But after Jesus showed them the things of the Father, then he said, I'm no longer, from now on, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. For everything I've heard from my Father, I've made it known to you. Therefore, you're no longer servants. You're not servants anymore. Now, you're friends. Now, watch this. God called Abraham his friend. A friend of God is not a son of God. A friend of God is not one with Christ. A friend of God is not a son. But God called Abraham a friend, and he called the disciples friends before they were born again. So at first they were servants, and after Jesus told them everything the Father said to him, then they became friends. But when the Holy Ghost came, and they were born of God, and they died on that cross with Jesus, now there's something altogether different than a servant or a friend. They're not. There's a song. It used to drive me crazy, and it still does when I hear it, because something in my spirit says, "Man, we've got this all wrong." And the song is, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. That is, friend, that's something Abraham could sing, and it would have been a wonderful song for him to sing, because what a wonderful opportunity for a man to be a friend of God. But friend, we are not the friend of God now. If you're the friend of God, then friend, you're not born again. You don't yet have the life of Jesus Christ. If you're a friend of God, you're like Abraham, walking in your own life, which most people are. So I guess you can be a friend of God. But God's offering you something a whole lot more than being a friend. He's offering you sonship. He's offering you to partake of his own divine seed, his own divine nature, to become one with him. That's what God is offering you. And that sounds crazy, but that is the true gospel. Father, I pray that they be one with me, even as I am one with you. Father, I'm praying for man to be a partaker of our own seed, our own nature. This is why it's such a great, great salvation. This is why the new covenant is so much better than the old one. God is calling you to be one with himself, to be his own house, to be a member of his own flesh and his own bones, his own very own body. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God is calling you to be the image of the invisible God. Now, the reason this sounds impossible and it sounds crazy is because we are used to seeing Adam. We're used to seeing our old man, what we see in the mirror, what came from mom and dad. Our natural life is not the Son of God. It's not. God did not make your flesh the child of God. Your flesh must be put off. The child of God, the life of Jesus Christ, is inside of your spirit. And this is why Jesus said to pray for the kingdom of God to come. Why? Because Jesus said it's on the inside of you. What was he saying to pray? He's saying, pray for what's on the inside of you to be manifest on the outside. There are so many things that keep the life of Jesus from manifesting. And it all has to do with darkness. It all has to do with not understanding, not believing what he's done, not really seeing what he's done. Christianity does not teach we are one with Jesus. It doesn't teach we're seated at the right hand. It doesn't teach we have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. It would never teach something like that. It doesn't teach we are alive forevermore, seated at the right hand. It teaches he is alive forevermore, seated at the right hand. Why? Because it's a religion. And a religion is different than walking in sonship. It's so different. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us in to true sonship, to true understanding of what he's accomplished. Amen. God wants to bring you from a servant to a friend. First, when you come to God, you really don't understand the cross. And then he begins to share what he's heard from the Father. And then he makes you a friend. Oh, but there's more. If you believe what he's accomplished, confess what he's accomplished, you can lay hold of the eternal life that was with the Father, but came down out of heaven and made itself known to us. Oh, hallelujah, beloved. I want to walk as a son. Amen. This doesn't mean we don't serve him and serve each other. It just means we're not servants. Even Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. But it's a different word. As a matter of fact, that word servant is deacon. In Greek, it's pronounced a little different, but it's where we get the word deacon. The greatest among you will be your deacon. They will serve you. It's not this, I no longer call you servants. This is a totally different Greek word. I no longer call you servants is like slaves. It's bond servants. It's like, this is not you anymore. You're not called to serve God, follow God, obey God. You're called to partake of God's own life, to walk in God, for him to live in you and through you. You are called not to follow Jesus or to serve Jesus. You're called to be one with Jesus. You are seated with Jesus. Now, if you think that this applies to your natural man, you'll get way off here. There's so many people that have read these scriptures and got crazy with it and got disillusioned because they started to believe something, but they had it mixed up. This does not apply to our natural man. As long as we are in these earthen vessels, we will always have to hate our own life and constantly learn to put it off and to despise it and to deny it. And it's a painful, painful journey, friend. If you're really on the right path, it is a painful journey. You can't deny that if you look at the scriptures. Jesus suffered for you, leaving you an example that you would follow in his steps. If we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him. We are the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus, if so be that we suffer with him. Oh my goodness, it's all over the Word of God. You are called not to a life of great victory. You're called to a life of suffering. But in the suffering is the great victory. But it's not the victory that man looks for. The victory man looks for is to be on the top in this world. That's not the victory. The victory is to end up on the bottom in this world. You'll never really see the victory until you get out of this natural life. You'll see it You'll see manifestations. You'll see signs. The Holy Spirit's our seal. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You'll see the power of God, victory over the devil, victory even over death and over sickness. You'll see those kinds of things when you really begin to hate your own life and walk in his. You'll see the power of sonship, but you won't see what men want. You won't see what men think is victory. The way up with God is down. It's always like that. And my natural man, I don't like this message. I really don't, because I like to be happy. I like to be successful. I like to have stuff. You know, I like people to like me. And all of those things, friend, are dung. They're all things we'll have to count as loss if we're really going to follow Jesus and believe in what he said, even if nobody else believes, even if nobody around you believes, even if you have a lot of religious friends, but they just do not believe the true gospel. They don't understand the cross. They're not willing to hate their life. They don't believe that they're seated at God's right hand. Friend, it's going to cost you if you really follow the truth and believe it and begin to seek him to walk in his life. It's going to cost you. That's guaranteed. But it's worth the cost. Because there are pleasures at his right hand forevermore. Forevermore. Whatever we give up here, whatever we go through here, they cannot be compared. It can't be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us and to what God has in store for us. What he's already provided and what he's already done for us is at the right hand. Oh, hallelujah, beloved. May the Holy Ghost help you to understand, to go from servants to friends, from friends to sons. In Jesus' name, I'm going to keep this short. My wife just pulled in, and I know she's going to come in, and I'll get interrupted. So I just want to bless you today with this message. From servants to friends to sons, may the Holy Ghost continue to reveal to us our true calling and help us to believe and to confess what he's accomplished and begin to enter into the true power of it. In the marvelous name of Jesus, amen.